Are you ready to sell more books? I'm Brian Cohen.
And I'm Claire Taylor. If you're ready to get your books into the hands of the right readers
and make some more money,
you've come to the right podcast.
And now it's time to talk tips, tricks, and news to help you sell more of your books. Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Sell More Book Show, episode 499. I'm Brian Cohen from Best Page Forward, joined by Claire Taylor from FFS Media. Claire, this episode is going to be released on the 1st of November, if you can believe it.
And I think you're lying.
I am lying. Ha ha, you caught me in this week's lie of the week. And that would actually be a really good segment for what it's worth.
If we just wanted to completely break trust with each other and everyone listening. I know.
So, Claire, you only have two more chances to break trust with the audience here in 499 and 500. Gearing up for our landmark 500th show. How are you feeling this week? You've had a little bit of chance to process. Some people have reached out, told you, I've been listening to the show for years and we didn't know. So
yeah,
how do you feel?
It's been really amazing, actually, hearing the response. I posted about it, you know, on my social media, and it was just really sweet. It was nice. It felt good, and it felt like a nice sort of way to close out, remembering that people are listening. Mm-hmm. And it was just, I'm really grateful for everyone who reached out and commented and all of that. And a lot of people said, you know, we have chemistry, Brian. We've got on-air chemistry that is not easily reproduced. So
yeah, we're like podcast couple.
We are.
It's like your work wife, you know.
Podcast wife,
We're a podcast wife and husband, but it's always so weird to talk about that.
And now we're consciously uncoupling.
Oh, we're podcast uncoupling. It's just so sweet. It's just so sweet.
No, it's been wonderful.
Likewise.
How's your week been going?
Is there like podcast custody? So...
Yeah, you have it.
Yeah. No, I know.
You're getting full custody.
You can take the website. You can take the hosting. I don't want it anymore. But what about Roland, Claire? Have you thought about Roland?
We can share custody of him as a friend.
Okay, we're going to share custody of Roland as friends. Good. Okay, so my week's going great. Just got back from San Diego, and always really nice to connect with people who are a little bit beyond or a lot beyond where you are in your business, in your author career, wherever, because it kind of helps you know what's possible. And yeah, it's really awesome. Just, you don't know what you don't know. And when you see people who are just out there doing incredible things, I mean, I spent the weekend with a guy who does like a drone photography school, and a person who runs a Facebook ads agency, and someone who is even earning a whole lot of money selling Pokemon cards and doing Pokemon opening things on their YouTube channel of 700,000 people.
Fun.
They started it with their son, and then their son got bored, but they kept it going. And, seeing what people are capable of in this amazing world is just very eye-opening and very inspiring.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So it was fun. It was fun. I'm talking as if it's happened already because I haven't really been there yet. Wasn't that pretty good? It's the lie of the week, everybody. But I will have been there when this airs. So.
Yeah, we don't want to get too lost in the weeds on, like, you know, verb tense here.
That is how I will feel.
That is how I will have felt when you will be listening to this.
I think it's whenst. Whenst.
There's definitely a whenst in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember that quarterback, Carson Whenst? whatever happened to him? Claire, we've got a previous week's question here. which was, what tasks do you outsource and which do you keep for yourself? Dharma Kelleher said, I outsource my editing, of course, but I keep the rest for myself, including cover design.
M.A. Nichols said, editing and beta reading, but I do everything else myself. I keep things to a minimum and focus on writing the next book, so there isn't much I can outsource.
And Heather Hadley said, I outsource editing and beta reading. I notice a trend here, as well as cover designing and formatting. That's good, Heather. I outsource it all as well. Just get it away from me. I don't want these words anymore. Please.
That's passion, folks.
That is passion. You can answer the passion of the week over at sellmorebookshow.com. In the comment section for the latest episode or at the Sell More Book Show After Party Facebook group. Claire, what am I going to do with the graphics? Let's talk about the graphics. You're in all of them. I'm not making new graphics.
I mean, I'll make you new graphics, Brian.
Can you make a graphic with your face crossed out?
And it just says RIP.
And we say, like, we have a vigil. Sell More Vigil Show.
Sell More Books Vigil. I can watch in like a big hat and like a trench coat in the shadows and just be mysterious. Yeah.
I love it.
I'm down for that. I'll do the graphics if I get to watch my own funeral.
Yeah. I promise. That's what we'll do special. We'll just get a bunch of funeral sound effects and it'll be great.
I mean, this is going to be airing on Day of the Dead, so.
Oh, good point. Good point.
You know, it's only right and proper to throw me a funeral.
I know. Let's go to our top story. USA Tomorrow. After a recent hiatus of 6 months, the USA Today bestseller list has returned, but it turns out the revamped list is not all that valuable to indie authors, after all, reports Jane Friedman in her Hot Sheet newsletter. Quote, from June through October, the number and variety of self-published titles hitting the list is a fraction of what it used to be, reports Friedman. The Hot Sheet shows several indie books should have made the list. Marie Force's State of Denial and Kathleen Brooks's Forever Connected hit number 5 and number 8 on the Wall Street Journal bestseller list, despite not appearing in any of the 150 spots on the USA Today list. Friedman says, while it seems unlikely the automated list has been knowingly calculated to work against self-published authors, it doesn't help that the new partner of USA Today's bestseller list is Bookshop and independent bookstores, which of course profit primarily from print sales. And one other big change is that you can no longer go back to see which books made past lists, as the list gets replaced every week. If your book makes the list, screenshot it, picks, or it didn't happen. Claire, one thing that's not mentioned in the story, I did see in the article, it mentioned that the USA Today bestseller list does not yet include sales. The new one does not yet include sales from Apple. And that is one of the retailers that authors used to try to get at least 500 sales from so that it would count towards that total. And it was good while it lasted. What are your thoughts on the new and different USA Today bestseller list?
Well, I think everyone who made the list back in the day before 2.0 came out and could put that on their book is like, whoo, glad I got that out of the way before all of this. If you're already a USA Today bestseller, congratulations. Just keep putting it on your books.
Yeah.
I have never myself put much stock in this. I know that's you know, part of who I am. I do not care about this. And I feel like if I can't sell books without this, you know, bestseller tag on it, then I probably need to find more ways to sell books. But, you know, that's me. I know it does matter to some people. And I know that the appearance on the list itself can drive sales. So that is something that indie authors will be missing out on when they can't make it onto the list. And, you know, yet another system where you're rewarded for already being on the in crowd. But that's, you know, that's life. That's life. That's how I feel. Like, okay, well, this is one tactic, because this has always just been a tactic. This is one tactic that has become less effective.
Yeah. You know? Them's the break, kids.
Yeah.
Them's the breaks. It stinks, but, you know, every system that has been helpful for authors as indies, it goes in different, it ebbs and flows. You know, there's when KU was not just tracked by the borrow, there were people gaming that system, and then it changed, and KU's changed more so. I mean, if you breathe wrong, Amazon closes your account. So, I mean, that's different. And then, you know, I really do think that there could be in the future some kind of list that allows people to make it and they get excited. But I absolutely agree with you. It's a tactic. And I don't think very many careers have been made from just being able to put USA Today bestseller on your cover.
Right. That's right. And I think that this is always, there's always an opportunity when the one door closes. And I think that if indies are no longer guaranteed, or, you know, no longer given as easy or fair access to this list as they were before, that Brian is, you're so mad about this. Just throwing
I just spilled tea on my computer. Oh, no. I don't know.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
It's going to do.
I'll just keep talking.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, I think that the opportunity is maybe there can be an indie publishing, you know, bestseller list that might be, that will also be gamed, just so we're clear. But, you know, that could be for the readers who are looking for something new and are as annoyed by the gatekeeping as authors.
Right. If I'm somehow still transmitting from this waterlogged computer, it is a miracle.
It's looking a little bit pixelated on my end, but I think we're good for now.
Okay. Well, we're going to keep on, but I think this computer might have just bit the big one. So we're going to, I can see you. I can't see on the actual display. So, we'll make it work, Claire. Claire.
Okay.
So let's go into the hot potatoes here. So do you think that overlooking indies and or ebooks is actually purposeful? Is it accidental or just ignorance by those in charge of compiling this new version of the weekly list?
I can't say for certain what the motivations and intentions are of anyone. It would just be an assumption on my part, but you can get little clues about what's going on with someone's motivation by looking at the systems that they build. A person builds their biases into the systems that they build. So I think that there is a bias that does not favor indie authors built into this. And I think that can tell us a little bit of something about, you know, what the people who redesigned the USA Today list feel about publishing and who is worthy of a claim and who is not.
Yeah. Yeah. I seem to recall this was a situation where the person who had been compiling it for years, who knew all the things, was fired. And so one assumes that person maybe didn't have the same biases.
Right. Yes. Just having a different person build the system is going to have different biases built into it. That's the information that I have is the system. And then I can kind of, you know, trace it back from there. And I think that it tells a story. So.
Yes. Yes.
All right, Brian. What data sources should USA Today add to more accurately reflect book sales and popularity?
Well, it's always going to be a challenge to figure out the data sources that USA Today can put into the list because we don't know what they have access to. For some reason, they don't have access to Apple. We don't know why. We don't know if their membership in whatever data thing lapsed and they still haven't gotten it back. We have no idea. But in an ideal world, they're getting data. from everywhere. They're getting data from Amazon. They're getting whatever Amazon's willing to give, and they're getting data from Apple, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, etc. Really, the old iteration of the list was an actual accounting of what sold. And mm-hmm. I think even, and this was the thing I didn't love about the old USA Today list, what if they got Amazon-only sales, and it wasn't a book that sold on Apple and Kobo, and it was just Amazon sales? We would have a very different list. Now, I don't know what Amazon's willing to give, but I think in an ideal world, this list would accurately reflect the book that was read the most over the past week. And if that means a book isn't available wide, but it did sell a heck of a bunch on Amazon, it would still be in that USA Today list. I think that would be more equitable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that idea.
Ain't gonna happen, but no. It's okay to dream.
Never gonna happen.
Never gonna happen. Man, we're coming up with all sorts of new songs here on your second to last episode, Claire. So it's time for your second to last ever lightning round.
Cool. Exploded Transformer.
Oh my gosh, I've seen one of those. Like, yeah. I saw one got hit by lightning and it was terrifying. And then a power line fell down and blocked my car and I couldn't get to it.
This is such a spooky episode all of a sudden. The spookiest lightning
memories
round.
On the corner. Okay. So how many copyright violations can we get in one episode?
I bet a lot.
Yeah, we can have a lot. Claire, who do you think can benefit most from utilizing a pen name?
I think if you want to use a pen name, you need to know why you're going to use it first and foremost. It can be really useful if you are writing something that you don't immediately want associated with you, the person. It can create some nice distance. It can also be, I've seen it used for purely strategic purposes. If your last name is maybe hard to pronounce, or if it is, you know, sometimes people will anglify their last name, which is sad that, you know, that has to happen, but it can sometimes help, or it has historically helped. Women will change to a male name. So sometimes the pen name can help you avoid biases to just get people into your book. So I think that's a totally legit thing to do, but you want to think long-term on it. And are you going to want to manage this persona forever? And if not, what's sort of your off, you know, your off ramp for that? Are you eventually going to republish with your real name, or are you just going to sort of live your life with that pen name? Because you could just sort of be like, yeah, this is who I am. There are plenty of authors that we don't actually know their real names and we think we do, right? Through our fun parasocial relationships. I actually don't know most of my author friends' legal names. I will say that. I don't know. I'm constantly surprised when I go out to dinner with people and they pull out their credit card and I'm like, that's your name? I had no idea. So there's a lot to consider there. But I do think it's important to ask yourself if it's going to become too much to manage, because it is essentially a different persona. And if you already have a pen name and you're starting a new one, that's essentially a different brand that you have to manage. You're going to have to start from scratch with all of the things that go along with that.
That makes total sense.
All right, Brian, once you decide that a pen name is for you, what should you think about when coming up with the name?
When you're trying to come up with a pen name, market research is the most important thing. You want to look at what are the kinds of names that sell. Now, there have been some interesting cases recently where people have used a very, very, very similar name to one of the people, maybe only changing a few letters in the last name. That's too close, so don't do that.
Lay you still off have Stefan to- King.
Yeah, exactly. Stefan, we're on to you. So we can't go too tight on that, but we can still get the vibe of a name I know with your paranormal cozy, you stuck within the bounds of what people tend to hear in those kinds of author names. I know our friend Trixie did as well. And that kind of research can save you a lot of heartache later when you realize, oh man, I chose poorly. And so do the market research, look in your top 100, look at those Kaylytics reports from Alex Newton. You dive deep. The more time you spend on it now, the better pen name will result later.
Love it.
Awesome. Claire, assuming privacy isn't the issue, how open should an author be with their various pen names? Do they need different social media, email lists, and websites?
I think it's really up to each author how open they want to be about their pen name. If it's just for sort of marketing purposes or to help audiences differentiate between different series, then you can tell, you know, your other pen name readers about it. It really is what you're comfortable with and why you're doing it. I know that some people do a pen name so they can kind of create a little bit of like psychological distance from that. And that can be really beneficial to not running into, you know, sort of writer's blocks and that sort of thing. So it really depends on what you're doing. You know, if your change is like, okay, here I'm Claire Taylor and here I'm H. Claire Taylor, right? Which I do write under both of those.
Yeah.
I'm fine with everyone knowing about the other one. It's just that is a different pen name so that I can let people know if it's H. Claire Taylor, it's my humor. If it's Claire Taylor, it's my nonfiction. And so they can help figure, you know, it helps them figure that out. So you don't necessarily need a whole other website for it. You can combine websites. You can combine email lists if you feel like those two audiences are very similar. And I would generally suggest making your life as streamlined as possible in that way.
I could not agree more.
And I could not live more differently.
I'm just one name show over here for the most part, but I have a couple of projects I've had in the past with pen names, and you have more than me, Claire.
I know, it's a problem. I'm trying to get on slowly but surely. It's all converging.
Good. Like Pangea.
Yes, exactly. Just like Pangea, Brian. Good job.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, Brian. Here's more lightning for you. Is there a magic number of Amazon reviews an author should shoot for?
So there are all these reports that say that Amazon will start promoting your book for you when you've got 50 reviews, and some say 100 reviews. But, you know, I don't think I've ever seen where Amazon or a certain ad or whatever works better when you've hit a certain number. I think it's just a matter of you want to get to those different digits. You want to get to the double digits when you can. Try to get to 10 reviews if you can. That is achievable for a lot of people. Once you are past 10, you're going to try to build up that email list so you can try to get to 25, try to get to 50. 100 is a lot of reviews. If you're ever like, how do these people get 100 reviews? Usually it is because they market their books a lot, they're spending a lot of money, or they've built up a good-sized email list. Anything beyond that is pretty much gravy. I mean, I have a book with 1,000 reviews. I have another book that's close to it. And nothing magical happened when I hit that number. So don't assume or bet everything on getting more reviews, because I don't think there's a magic number. Just try to get to 10 to start. Try to get to 10. And the best way to get to 10 is to connect with readers on a regular basis, possibly through an email list.
Yeah, that first 10 is the hardest, and then the second hardest is the first 50.
Yeah, it's so true. But it's doable, but there's no magic formula. A lot of it just is how often do you connect with readers.
Yeah, and bring the border collie energy. You got to bring the border collie energy.
Oh my goodness, you do. That Enneagram 7 energy.
That's more golden retriever. I'm thinking more of the nipping at people's heels all the time, you know?
Okay.
So yeah, you got to be like, hey, have you left a review yet? It's almost review time. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. That totally makes sense. I like this idea of different dogs being different Enneagram types.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, that's great. Claire, for the final lightning round of the day, most writers start writing because it's fun. But how do you keep the fun going after you've been writing for a while?
I started writing because it was fun and because it took me out of myself and because it was a place where I could break some rules without getting in trouble. and throughout the years, there have been times where it's much less fun. And I think that there are other rewards in writing besides just fun. And so when it stops being fun, we can try and connect with those rewards as well. Writing is just such a kind thing to do for yourself if you allow it to be. It is a time where you just get to express yourself. And I recently heard someone describe that the opposite of dysregulation is not having no emotions, it's self-expression. And so I thought that was really interesting, but there are so many reasons to write that day to day, minute to minute, there's something, some good reason to write. So it's about sitting and finding that. And it may not be fun because maybe the scene is not meant to be fun. Maybe the scene is one of those really hard scenes and you need to write it because it's meaningful or because it'll be inspiring, right? And sometimes that's not what we would normally consider fun. But there's always something to connect with in the process of writing. And that's why so many of us do it. And that's why even when we feel defeated, want to give up, we always come back.
Yeah. I love that. Great answer. Good one to end us on today, Claire. So we need a question of the week. Funny story while we go back to this. So in the middle of recording this episode, I poured 10 gallons of tea onto my laptop. And the computer actually continued to record for about 25 seconds. So about midway through this episode, if you've heard the sound change at all, it's because I'm on my backup. It was so funny, right? Right?
I was having a good time. I don't think you were having as good of a time.
Well, my computer is now having a spa day over at Apple tech support. So it's having a better time than either of us. It's getting all its parts changed out.
Yeah.
It actually reminds me, hundreds and hundreds of episodes ago, Claire, probably in the first 100 episodes of the Sell More Books show, the same thing happened. And not during the show, but it was the morning of running an event. And, thinking back, the Sell More Books show listeners, we actually put together a GoFundMe for it. And the Sell More Books show listeners got me the money to keep living my life. And so I'm always very thankful for y'all. The early earlys. Probably even contributed. So any of you who's still listening from those days, just a big thank you.
Appreciate That's amazing. You. The only time you ever got paid for this.
Why are you leaving me? So Claire, we were talking about the USA Today list.
Yes.
Do we want to ask the same question I asked you, that if this was purposeful, accidental, or ignorance? Or do we want to ask about pen names, or do we want to ask about something else?
Let's just go ahead and talk about the USA Today bestseller list.
Okay. So,
lists in general, maybe.
Yeah. Have you tried to get onto a list before? And now that it may be more difficult for indies to get on a list, do you think you will try at some point in the future? You can answer the question of the week over at the Sell More Book Show after party. I kind of was going minor key. It was a little bit like my days at Hebrew school there.
we love the minor key.
There is a question of the week. Okay. So please go and answer that at sellmorebookshow.com. or in the comment section over at the Somewhere Book Show After Party. Claire, you are here for one more time.
One more time. And boy, what a time it'll be.
I cannot wait. But I will be sad when you are gone.
Me as well, Brian. I am still sad to leave.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I understand that. But I'm excited for what comes next for you.
Yeah, I'm excited for what comes next for me as well as for you and the show. I am just as curious to find out as anyone.
Well, I'll tell you in episode 500 coming up next week. So make sure to listen. It is going to be a very Claire-focused episode. So if you like Claire and don't like me, you can listen again. It's totally fine.
And vice versa. I think that goes without saying.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, all right. For, well, Claire, as this is coming out, like, let's see. I'm, like, trying to think. So this is coming out on the day after Halloween, November 1st. Do you have anything, last things you want to let folks know about?
Just make sure you're signed up for my list. I'm going to open enrollment soon for the January cohort of the Liberated Writer Course. So you want to get in on that, presumably, or maybe not, but maybe you should sign up to my list anyway. I have things coming. I don't know what they are yet, but I have things coming for people.
Yay. Do it. What's the URL for that again?
FFS.media/join.
Very nice. Very nice. And I got some cool stuff coming up. Some big giveaways in the month of November, so definitely stick around, and I'll tell you more about those as we go into deeper into November. For Claire, I'm Brian. Have a great week of bookselling, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week for episode 500. Bye.
Woo! Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Sell More Book Show. Visit the website at www.sellmorebookshow.com for detailed show notes and subscription information, or to send us news or comments for use on the show. Also, please take a moment to subscribe to the show and leave us a review. Thank you very much for listening, and happy bookselling!